Two men in a six pack starts in 3, 2, 1. Welcome, two men and a six pack listeners, to tonight's podcast. We got a great show in store for you tonight. We got some guest who's actually becoming quite regular on the show, considering we recorded his kitchen table. Bobby Mills, welcome, Bobby.
Thank you.
We have guest Joey Mahalchik. Welcome, Joe.
Good evening, Joe.
You have to speak into the mic. Let me remind you.
So last time you said I was yelling too loud.
Okay, so. Well, you probably were.
That's because you were like right here.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm right here now, so this should be better.
And we got Trevor. Trevor, are you feeling better this week?
I'm back.
Good victory Friday night. Did you win?
Yeah, we were up by 40 at one point, running clock.
Running clock, that's a good thing. And then we got my man, the legend, Bob Mills. Bob, how you doing, man?
Get ready for some useless information.
Well, you're getting ready to get a bunch of it. Here we go. Oh, by the way, Twin Peaks, you gave us like way too much food, but that's all right because I'm responsible for dinner tonight at the house, so we're good to go. So, all right, everybody ready to get going?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Birthdays, 1981. Pop got us. That's all I'm going to say. Pop got us, 1981.
Does anybody even?
That's right. Britney Spears. Britney's first two albums, Baby One More Time and Oops, I Did It Again, both sold over 20 million copies worldwide. That's a few more than y'all's buddies, Thomas Pope. Okay, but he is on the rise, correct?
Oops, I Did It Again is one of my karaoke songs.
Okay, excellent.
I can see that.
And, of course, Britney, at one point in time, she auditioned for the Mickey Mouse Club, but was not selected, but then she did become a Mouseketeer later on. I don't know if you knew that. That'll be very pertinent because we have a rapid-fire question as it relates to former Mouseketeers.
Are you on?
1983, State Farm actor and part-time QB Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers was born this day in Chico, California. Rodgers didn't get a very good birthday today. The damn Packers took an ass-whooping at home to the Cardinals, which all but probably sealed Mike McCarthy's fate. Matt Cross, hate it for you, bud. But you'll be looking for a new coach next year, and hell, Aaron may get fed up, and you may be looking for a new QB next year as well. One interesting stat about Aaron, do y'all know, you know, he went to University of California. You know he went to a junior college or like a community college. Do you know where that college was?
I cannot remember. I saw the story.
Nope. It was in the middle of nowhere. Butte Community College. I'm assuming, just making an assumption, that's in Butte, Montana. But the most astounding fact about Aaron Rodgers is that who he is currently dating.
Daniel Patrick?
Correct, sir. And I had to get that in there because there will be a rapid-fire question later on about Danica Patrick. Also born on this day, 1975, Robert Rob Steele, our buddy, vice president of RWS Builders. He's a North Carolina licensed general contractor, and he attended White Oak High School and studied at UNC Wilmington. Ladies, he currently lives in Jacksonville, and he is single. Just want to, and willing and able, ladies. So I just want to go out on record and just let you know that Rob Steele is his birthday today. And Rob, I know you're not going to listen to this later because it's your birthday, so you're probably passed out by now.
He's at the Cardinal earlier.
Oh, is he? Okay. Well, happy birthday. But ladies, he is single. So
shocker.
Let's move into some more useful information than what we just provided. And we're going to talk about high school football state playoffs. Eastern Regional Finals, here we come. Jacksonville High School moved to 10-1 when they defeated Eastern Alamance Friday night, 59-17. Defense really stepped up. I didn't go, but I've been a little bit under the weather. But Eastern Alamance put up a bunch of points last week against Southern Nash, I think in the 50s. So Jacksonville High School's the Cardinal defense really stepped up. And they're going to advance to the regional finals, Jacksonville is, which is actually their second time in 3 years. They got a rematch next Friday night against the Rams, Havelock Rams, 13-0. The Rams beat Terry Stanford 47-33. In the Jacksonville game, though, Jacksonville rushed for 249 yards. Graham Breaker went for 73. Bennett went for 89. And Finster went for 88. and they held Eastern Alamance to only 100 yards rushing.
I would like to add something.
Add it.
The community college that Aaron Rodgers did attend is in California.
But it is. So there is a Butte Community College in California.
In Oroville, California.
It moved from Butte, Montana to there because Butte, Montana couldn't support it.
Just like Lake Forest.
Yeah, exactly. Now, back to more meaningful information. Thank you for the correction, Bobby. So Jackson's going to have a tough game this week, and I've got a comment from Bo here coming up. Havelock's got a couple prospects on their team that kind of anchor their squad. I think everybody knows about Anthony Harris, 6'1 and a half or so, 175 athlete. He's already committed to Tennessee. Number 4 prospect in North Carolina. That's pretty good. They also have a 6 foot, 195 wide receiver, Witten Spotsville. He's committed to the Tar Heels.
Oh,
and as we are recording, breaking news, Mike McCarthy has been fired as the Green Bay Packers head coach. Did I predict that or not?
You did. That was impressive.
You gotta give that to him.
Pretty damn impressive.
What happened last week, too, with the Fedora firing? You predicted that.
I predicted that last week. Just call me Nostra freaking Domus, is what you want to call me. Back to the Havelock squad. They also have a 6 foot, 215-pound running back, Cameron Hutchison, who is yet to commit. And then they have a 6'3", 285-pound guard, Nashad Struthers, who is a UNC Charlotte commit. So with that said, I'll give you a little words of from my man Bo here. Here we go.
Hey, Gary, this is Bo. Cardinals did take on Havelock this week. At Havelock, be a big challenge for us. Them being undefeated, number 1 seed in the East. The kids played really hard last Friday against Eastern Alamance. Made some mistakes, but fought through it and got the W. Looking forward to our chance to go down there and play them. Great team that they have, great speed, great skill, great coach. Be a challenge for us, and we look forward to the challenge and excited about our chances to go down there and play with them on Friday for the Eastern Regionals. Have fun. Look forward to it. Should be a great week of practice and a great game on Friday. Thanks.
So he's saying it's a challenge.
He's saying it's a challenge, obviously. Who went to the who was in attendance the first game? Did y'all go to the first game?
I was there.
So let's talk a little about the first game, and tell me your thoughts based on the first game.
First game.
What is Jacksonville? And we were talking about this pre-podcast. What does Jacksonville have to do to win this game Friday night?
Don't turn it over.
You know, I said the exact same thing to Phil and on the podcast. I said, I don't think Jackson beat Havelock twice. Jackson was sure to the first game that they came to compete. It was, 25-20 at one point. And then Jackson kind of fell off the wagon, or is it on the wagon? But he fell off wrong, and they started turning over more. And I think you got to win the turnover battle.
So Jackson started drinking liquor? Is that what they did?
I think that's probably what happened. Okay. But your really question is, how big of a turnover margin do they need to win by, Joey? They're going to be a +1. They're going to be a +3. I mean, what is it, do you think, the key to success?
As long as they hold on to it, I don't think there has to be a +/-. You just take care of the football.
What about you, Trevor?
Well, it's supposed to rain Friday, so it's going to be another rain game. Okay. So that's going to obviously mess with them holding on to the football again, unless they do some water drills.
Or not carry it like a loaf of bread. You pick.
What do you think, Steve?
I think if they proved it last game, I didn't attend. But obviously, Jacksonville's athletes can match up with Havelock's athletes. If they could do that, from what everybody has told me, Jacksonville played with them. And I'll be honest with you, this is no slap on Jacksonville, but I just thought that Havelock would manhandle them in the trenches. I just thought that Havelock, you know, they got this one kid, the Struthers kid, going to UNC Charlotte. But, I mean, he's 6'3", 285 guard, which means they probably got a 6'4", 275-pound tackle playing right beside him. I'm just saying. So, you know, from the mere perspective that Jacksonville was able to play with them in the first game and stay with them, they just had these turnovers. That's obviously, you know, a good sign for, you know, for Jacksonville. It's hard as hell to beat a team twice in the same year. Of course, Southwest did it, this past Friday night. They beat Wallace Rose Hill twice. But with that said, I have no doubt that Bo and Phil and all the other Jacksonville coaches, assistant coaches, head coach are going to have these guys ready to play.
And that's one thing that I think that's a huge edge for Jacksonville is they do have a great coaching staff. I mean, you got to think about it, they don't have a single player really going D1 or any major college players. Havelock does. So, I mean, you got to give an edge to the Jacksonville coaching staff.
Well, let's go with predictions. Who you got Friday night?
Jacksonville, 35-28.
Joey, who you got?
I'm going to take the Cards, 38-35.
Trevor, who you got?
I got Havelock. No score. Just Havelock.
0-0. and they went on a coin flip.
2-0.
They win 2-0.
It'd be penalty kicks, right?
They win penalty kicks.
Goes down as a tie.
Got a PK.
I got Havelock. I hate to say it, but I got Havelock. I just think that Jacksonville's good. And I just think Jacksonville is just, unfortunately, has every team has a kryptonite. NC State, Wake Forest, you know, Carolina, pick one of it nine. It doesn't matter.
Whoever.
Yeah, football's Carolina's kryptonite right now. East Carolina walking onto the field. I just hate it. I think at any other potential time, I think this group of seniors in Jacksonville High School could look at advancing. I just hate that, you know. I hope they do win. I mean, I really do. I just, you know, Havelock is beating people badly. And you know, granted, I didn't watch the game. I'm pulling for Bo, and I'm pulling for the staff, and I'm pulling for, you know, the players. Some of the parents I could really, you know, leave or take or whatever. But the players and the coaches and whatnot, they're, you know, I'm pulling for them, and I hope they can make it. But I'm gonna have to pull for. But I'm gonna have to say Havelock.
I want them to win.
I want them to win, but you know,
gotta be realistic.
I mean, I wanted Carolina to win 7 games this year, but they didn't. But anyway, okay, moving on.
In men's soccer, they did.
Yeah, men's soccer, they did.
Did the
women win? Win or okay, they lost today.
1-0 in national championship.
In the national championship, almost. All right, moving on. Southwest, like I just mentioned before, beat Wallace Rose Hill 29-20. Friday night. It was a regular season rematch, and during the regular season, they also beat Wallace 29-20. So that's interesting. Pretty unique that this ended Wallace Rose Hill championship run. Wallace Rose Hill had won 3 straight 1A titles, and then they won the 2A title last year. So Wallace Rose Hill had won 4 straight state championships. Four in a row. That's pretty impressive. The difference here was B.J. Jordan. He's the area's leading rusher. He ran for 225 yards, 3 TDs. He had TD runs of 2, 30, and 75. So when you add that 75 and 30, that helps you get to 225 pretty quickly. Get you halfway there almost. Southwest now 12-2. They'll travel to Elizabeth City, which is a long way on a damn bus, to take on the Northeastern Eagles. The Eagles 13-0. They had a pretty close one. Friday night they played Kinston. They beat Kinston 40-0. Oof. That was a tough one. They're led by a duo of players. One is assuming he's still going to commit and go to East Carolina. 6'2", 220-pound linebacker, Travion Freshwater. He's a stud. He is a monster. I've seen some highlights on him. And then they've got a 6'5", 220-pound defensive end named Jarrell Baum, who is going to Old Dominion. So they got a couple legit players, so it'll be an interesting game Friday night. Let's see what my man Charlie has to say. This is going to be a little more in depth than Bo's, as usual. But a minute 39 seconds here, so let's see what Charlie has to say.
Yeah, we're really excited to have the opportunity to be playing in the Eastern Regional Finals again for the second straight year in a row. Can't say enough about how hard my kids played Friday night. Really proud about the way they handled that game. And Wallace came in and a much better team than they were the first time we played them. Tough physical football game. Our kids responded to it, just kept playing the next play, kept battling. And in the fourth quarter, you know, we were in a position to win it, and our kids were able to get it done. And you know, that's 2 weeks in a row that we faced a really good, two good physical football games, and we were able to, you know, just stay level-headed and keep fighting and win it. So I think it's the thing I'm most excited about. As far as Northeastern goes, another tough test, man. It's going to be, you know, another similar game to what we just played these past 2 weeks. So, you know, really impressed with, you know, their size and ability. I know they got, I think, four or five D1 guys over there, and, you know, they're really good on defense. However, I mean, I think we match up well. I think we match up well against each other. So, once again, I think it's going to be another slugfest. And, you know, I think our kids will be ready, and they'll have another opportunity to, you know, muster it up and get ready to play one more tough game and one game away from the state championship. So, you know, real excited for the opportunity, excited for the game Friday night, and, you know, I'm excited to watch our kids once again, you know, just play a tough physical football game.
There you have it, Charlie Dempsey. So let's talk about Friday night. Start this in. Trevor, who you got?
Southwest. I don't know anyone that can stop the line.
You going? Is it going to be 0-0 and they're going to win in?
I don't know the score because I don't know anything about Northeastern, so no score for me.
Joey?
I'm going to take the Stallions.
Taking the Stallions. So the Stallions will be playing the following week for the state championship.
Absolutely.
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 Bobby, who you got?
What year is this, Charlie? Is this his third or fourth year coaching?
I think it is his fourth year. Bob, does that sound right? Is this Charlie's fourth year?
Third year. I tell you, you know, Charlie has really stepped it up. Talk about walking to a program that has had much success and then coming to those shoes, to fill Phil's shoes. I've been very impressed with Charlie's success so far. And I go with Charlie winning this one again, 21-17.
21-17, damn.
He's throwing that out means Northeastern's going to
kick a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting? Do you know their kicker?
They play soccer there?
I'm just telling you, I got a feeling.
That's why I can't come up with scores. I don't know these teams.
You know, this whole year I've never picked, even the first game of the season, Jacksonville, Southwest, I have never picked against Southwest the whole year. And I called a bunch of shit for it. First game of the season. Of course, they lost. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm not going to start now. I mean, I think Charlie's done a great job. He's a great dude. And he's got those guys playing real well. And that running back they've got,
he is a stud.
So I'm going.
I can get 150 yards behind that one. But
yeah, I'm going Stallions.
You are pretty fast, though.
You are pretty fast. Yeah,
weigh about 250, so it'd be tough to tackle me too.
Well, I mean, you bob and weave. You know, you got good practice, maybe like dodging bullets and stuff like that. But yeah, you dodge and weave pretty well. I'm going Stallions. I'm not predicting a score. I will predict that there won't be a field goal kick, though. There will not be a field goal kicked in the game. So whatever.
Attempted or made?
Made. There will not be a field goal made in that game.
I'll take a wager on that right now.
Would you?
What are you going to give me, 2-1 odds, 100
bucks?
100 bucks. 2-1 odds.
Okay.
Extra points
and
stretch.
Extra points don't count. Field goals.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. For either team.
For either team. Yeah.
2-1 odds.
Absolutely. You want some of that?
2-1 odds.
Wow.
I'm giving 2-1 odds. So put up 100. So I only got to pay him 50.
Southwest did have a successful soccer season. They have some guy that can kick the ball.
Northeastern just scored 40 points. Do you think Southwest, if they get down, do you think they're going to try to kick a damn field goal or score a touchdown? Do you want some of this bet or not, or are you just going to stay out of it?
I'm going to stay out.
Charlie,
out.
And by the way, for the record, Charlie, I will split half of it with you.
Uh-huh. Charlie, I give it all to you just to beat Bobby. Okay. All right, moving on. College football, big news. Carolina has raided the damn retirement home. And we have got our head coach, Mac Brown. Mac Brown has come out of retirement. He had to turn in his AARP card, and he is the new head coach at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He's bringing with him Tim Brewster from Texas A&M, Tommy Thigpen, who is a former Carolina linebacker, and he's staying on staff. And as Phil Padgett mentioned last week, one hell of a recruiter said, I think Phil said that Tommy Thigpen was the best recruiter in the state of North Carolina.
That's what he said.
Well, good.
Then he's bringing Dre Bly. How about this? Yeah. Dre Bly, former All-American, one of the first, and I don't remember the exact stat, but he was an All-American as a freshman at Carolina at cornerback. One of the first times that a freshman had been All-American at the time, freshman had made and had achieved All-American status at Carolina. Sumer, former Super Bowl champion with the Raiders. He's also joining the staff. He's still trying to round out his staff. Was reading a pretty good article. So, three parties that Brown has got to address with his staff. Number one is the quarterback. Kelly Bryant is still in the mix. Brown and his staff have already paid him a visit. Paid him a visit, and they gave him a bag of Brown, a dollar, shoes, some monies with Brown bag. No, of course Bryant's going to make a decision. I think it said December 4th, so that's coming up here shortly in the next couple of days. So so if Bryant decides to come, I think that kind of shores up the quarterback position for a year. If not, then they're going to have to do something about the rotating quadruplex head that they have.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, he's used to playing for an old coach, so that would. I mean, that kind of gives us the, that kind of gives us the leg up. Either him or freaking Newt Rockne, one of the two. So we'd be in. So number one priority, quarterback. Number two, got to fix the defense, man. The defense sucks.
Atrocious.
Well, it doesn't get any worse. So
yeah. So
yeah, it can.
So
no, I don't think so.
I don't know, man. Lost defense sucks.
They suck.
You know, Carolina was competitive this year. They had the competitive athletes. You know, you've seen other ones that are not even close, like ECU.
Well, that's the third thing that they need to fix. Close games, turnovers, and penalties. That's all grouped together. Seven of Carolina's nine losses during this season were by 7 points or less. So, we were extremely close to having Fedora's ass back again next year.
That's what I'm saying. You're only talking about seven plays.
Yeah.
That's between him saying him.
Legitimate. So
Miami and East Carolina, the only two teams that blew them out. It was 41-19 East Carolina, 47-10 Miami.
Yeah, the other seven losses were by a touchdown or less.
Yeah.
So we got to. That's a culture. That's mentality. That's a winning mentality. That's that culture. Okay. Turnovers. We forced the fewest turnovers in the ACC in 2016. But in 17 and 18, we've had back-to-back -6 turnover margins for the year. We were just talking about Jacksonville High School and how they potentially could stay in the game with Havelock and win. We talked about turnovers. When you turn the ball over, you lose. Would y'all agree with that?
Absolutely. With any sport.
Let's look at the Panthers today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about them in a second. Don't worry. And then penalties. Penalties, we're just undisciplined. We average 6-7 penalties a game this year for almost 60 yards. I mean, that's just freaking undisciplined. So, turnovers, penalties, undisciplined. So, anyway, anybody want to chime in and talk anymore?
Carolina football, except that they lose.
Beat Western Carolina 65-10.
Yeah, get some catamounts. Get some catamounts.
I'm glad it's basketball season.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Not really, but okay. next on the coaching front, no mo mo. No mo-mo. We got some happy people around here. The weight game came to an end, and this week the Scotty Montgomery experience came to an end at ECU. Pirates were 3-8 at the time of the announcement that Scotty Montgomery would no longer be the coach. I think it was announced on Thursday. He was fired after three seasons by East Carolina. His first 2 years he went 3-9, and of course he was 3-8 when he got fired this year. More kind of on those first 2 years, the opening game of the season, each game of the opening game of the season, he actually lost to FCS schools. Excuse me. He lost two years ago to James Madison, which remember that name here in a second. And then, of course, this year they lost to North Carolina A&T. So I had actually prepared a pretty in-depth list, gone out on several East Carolina recruiting sites, as well as called Fred Phelps to talk to him about who the inside track for East Carolina football coach was. But then my good buddy Bob Mills informed me tonight at Twin Peaks while we were drinking a beer waiting for the fine food that was delivered to us tonight by Twin Peaks that East Carolina had actually hired a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Mike Houston from James Madison University. What's interesting is this, they had to move quick on him because UNC Charlotte had actually already interviewed and offered him the job. So Mike Houston prefers to be in Greenville as opposed to Charlotte, which is pretty interesting.
Which is weird, but...
Yeah, kind of weird. But okay. So I had this long list of names. He was number one on the list. Skip Holtz is number two. Butch Jones, former Tennessee coach, was three. Tony Elliott, offensive coordinator with Clemson, was number four. That dude, Tony Elliott, he's going somewhere this year. He's not going to be the offensive coordinator at Clemson next year. But anyway, Mike Houston, he will be the 22nd coach in ECU's history. He served a three-year stint at James Madison, which included one of those years winning a FCS national championship.
He's bringing a winning mentality.
He's bringing a winning mentality to Greenville, something that honestly has not really existed except, I think, potentially in Greenville. Greenville had a hell of a little league baseball team that went to the Little League World Series.
Oh, they were good.
2 or 3 years ago in up in Pennsylvania. So that's legitimately the only winning tradition that Greenville can remember in the last several years. So, yeah, Houston brings a winning tradition to Greenville. And so it'll be interesting to see. He's actually a native of North Carolina. I can't remember where they said, but he's a native of North Carolina. So any thoughts? East Carolina. Actually, East Carolina fans are sitting over there. Yeah. Bob, how do you feel about the hiring of Mike Houston as the next coach of East Carolina University, leading the Pirates, Pirate Nation?
Great hire. He's been a winner everywhere he's been. Started at T.C. Robertson, Asheville, won a state championship there. Even Bob Warlick, your North Carolina cohort, thinks it's a great hire for us.
Well, if Bob Warlick thinks that it's a great hire, because Bob Warlick, in case y'all didn't know, his nickname is Mr. Negative. if you guys did not realize, if Bob Warlick says it's a great hire, then it is a damn great hire. So,
I think it's a step backwards for him.
Really?
Absolutely. What? You're in a winning program.
Yeah, but you're moving up from FCS to FBS.
Probably gets paid more.
He could have made a leap, a bigger,
absolutely.
Leap.
Yeah.
You think he could have gone?
Yeah. I think so. Absolutely.
That's what I thought too. But I'm tickled.
Right? But I mean, I get it. I get it. You're holding on. You need to take because you've been offered.
But legitimately, besides invading the high school ranks, what college job will be a step up at East Carolina? Larry Fedora going from Carolina to East Carolina?
If Louisville.
True. There's going to be some openings coming up.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Good point.
I think he wanted to be in North Carolina.
I do too.
So I think that was a huge leg up, and there's not an opening in North Carolina besides that job. I mean, it's not going to go from JMU to App State, and App State coach gets hired either.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
One hire that he can get to stay up in North Carolina.
Well, we'll see how that transpires. So now Carolina and East Carolina both have coaches. One is a young up-and-comer, and one is a, I've already been there and done that, and I need my Geritol to get back there. So we'll see how that transpires. In other coaching news, how the mighty have fallen. Remember Terry Bowden that used to coach at Auburn?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hell of a coach at Auburn. Good lineage from his damn daddy. Terry and brother. Terry was just recently fired as the Akron Zips coach today. After 7 years, Bowden went 4-8 this year, and his 7-year record at Akron was 35-52.
Jeez.
So I would think that it was pretty justifiable that Terry Bowden, he'll probably be on sitting beside his brother on ACC Today, Raycom, doing the announcing. So anyway, so moving on, conference football championship games, they were played yesterday. Easy question, in my opinion, if you watched them. Which game was the most entertaining and why? I'll leave it up to you.
Alabama.
Georgia. Alabama and Georgia.
Just because their comeback, putting Jalen Hurts back in the game and came back and won.
Great game. Did you watch any of the games, Joey?
I watched the second half of the Georgia-Alabama game, and I was impressed. It was full circle.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
We were talking about it last night. He stuck with it. He did. Jalen Hurts did everything the right way. He didn't quit. He stuck with it and was rewarded yesterday and then got the job done. That was impressive.
I would agree. Bobby, did you watch any of the games or were you
I mean, I thought the best game yesterday asleep. Was actually the tailgate at the NC State ECU game. Massive chandelier game and we pulled out and I won.
Was my buddy Justin there?
He was there. He did not win.
How much money did he lose in Flip Cup?
I would say $200.
All of it.
Did he have to mortgage his house in Fuquay?
He got a second.
Okay. All right. Good deal. So, I would agree, Alabama, Georgia, great game. I was flipping back and forth between the Memphis and Central Florida game. That was a great game. So Memphis busted out like a 17-point lead, and Central Florida came back and took control in the second half and basically dominated. It kind of sucks for Central Florida. I mean, they've gone 2 years now undefeated in the College Bowl, in the College Bowl playoff, or the College Playoff Bowl thing, whatever you want to call it, that just came out today. They didn't make it up to eighth, I think. I think they're eighth.
I mean, and honestly, I think they're just as good, if not better, than Notre Dame. I have no faith in Notre Dame. Notre Dame is going to get smashed.
Wow. They play Clemson.
They're going to get annihilated.
Okay. Wow. Well, I just feel bad. If we did go from four to eight, it would be cool to see Central Florida. Of course, maybe, you know, you obviously don't put 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, because that would put Central Florida playing against Alabama. You kind of have like a first two or three teams would get like byes or something. I don't know how it would work, but they would like potentially. I mean, I think they could play with Michigan. I think Central Florida can play with Michigan.
Michigan, Ohio
they have the same type of athlete.
Yeah. Slow white guys. No, I'm just messing. Anyway.
I mean, it's a different level.
Yeah.
I know you think differently about Notre Dame.
Just a little bit.
You know, I heard an interesting thing.
Just a little.
Well, I will tell you this. I heard today when they were talking about. Well, let's move on. Because we're actually going to talk about it. So they did set the college football playoff set today. Bama versus Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl, and Clemson versus Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl. Both games are going to be on December 29th. So, first of all, did the committee get it right picking OU over Georgia or Ohio State for the fourth spot?
Yes, I think so.
You agree?
I agree. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they did. I'm just going to tell you, I don't think they did. Georgia is I know they got two losses, but they are a very good football team. And I think that, I mean, don't get me wrong, Oklahoma is great.
Offensively.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was going to wrap back around when we were talking about Notre Dame. So I was listening to them talk today on ESPN, and they said the big difference, the reason Notre Dame is probably one of the top four schools in the country this year, they're just not flashy. They don't have any deficiencies on offense. They don't have any deficiencies on defense, any deficiencies on special teams. They don't go out and pound you and beat you by 30. They just win the games that they're supposed to win, and there's not a lot of deficiencies. Like Oklahoma has a deficiency on defense. Ohio State has a deficiency in games. I mean, they may show up a game, and they may not show up a game. So that was kind of the Jesse Palmer and those guys' take on the justification for Notre Dame. And I look at Georgia, and I say, okay, they got blew out early on in the year in LSU. Since then, they ran the table, and they were basically kicking Alabama's ass for three complete quarters of the football game until Mojo. If they'd been playing any other team in the country that game, no one could have pulled a Jalen Hurts, former SEC Player of the Year, off the bench except Alabama. And put him in to lead that comeback. So, in my opinion, Georgia's the fourth best team, but, you know, the OU-Alabama game is going to be a great game. And if Georgia would have come in fourth again, you would have seen a rematch. The only way I would have wanted to see a rematch between Alabama and Georgia was if it had been in the national championship. So, you would have had to bump Notre Dame to four and put Georgia at three. And that's, you know, so.
But didn't Georgia lay in? I mean, it was theirs to win. And
It was. They were up by, you know, they were up by 1 point, by 14 points. They were going in to go for another score and then didn't. I mean, they missed a field goal.
The fake punt.
I mean,
the fake punt.
We're going to talk about that.
And I think some of it, too, you got to think about the conferences, too, right? Like, so you got two teams from the SEC in there. You leave out one of those other schools from the Big Ten or the Big 12. It's just. Even though we all think the SEC is the best conference, and they are, I still like to see another team from a different conference making it.
Yeah,
and
that's why if you expand it opens that up.
Of course, yes.
So, and it'll have to take some, I don't know, I guess it's called legislation or something to happen within the governing bodies, because this format is actually set for the next, I think it's like five or six years. Three more years?
3 years.
I thought it was 5 or 6 more years with the four teams. To do something different, there has to be some voted changes and stuff like that. So anyway, so with that said, who's playing the championship game January 7th, Santa Clara? It's in Santa Clara, California this year. Who's playing January 7th?
Clemson, Bama.
Yeah, I said it weeks ago. Bama. Let's just fast forward.
Clemson, Bama.
I think we said the beginning of the year.
This was probably, you know, something that Jesse Palmer and them said. This was the prime year because Clemson and Bama have kind of set themselves apart. That you go back to the old BCS way of doing things. The top two teams playing for the national championship and be done with it. Anyway, I think we're all in agreement with that. So some early bowl predictions. And actually, some of this stuff has been finalized now. Just giving y'all a little heads up. The Birmingham Bowl, I don't know what day that's going to be on. But Wake Forest made a bowl. They're going to be playing Memphis. The Tax Slayer Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida. We'll see the Texas A&M Aggies versus the NC State Wolfpack. Go Aggies. Are y'all going down for that game, you think?
I don't know. It's New Year's Eve.
But you're not going. Yeah. There's many other places you'd rather be New Year's Eve than Jacksonville, Florida, trust me. The Independence Bowl. I don't know if it's the Poulan Weed Eater Bowl or whatever it is now. But anyway, the Independence Bowl. Duke will be playing... I've got Memphis down here. I've got Memphis twice. There's no way that Memphis is so good that they're playing twice.
They got two games.
Yeah. So I screwed up and wrote something down wrong there. Oh, well. Then in the We Suck, But We've Got New Coaches Bowl, played in Spivey's Corner, North Carolina, is UNC versus ECU.
Rematch.
Yeah. They're going to be playing in Spivey's Corner, the hollering contest capital of the world. The New Year's Six Bowl, of course, you got the Alabama game, and you've got the Clemson game. The other games, what they call the New Year's Six, Peach Bowl, Michigan, Florida, Fiesta Bowl, LSU and Central Florida. We'll see. Wow. Central Florida wants a test. We'll see what happens with Central Florida.
If their quarterback,
I was about to say, I think it's a
better game. Yeah.
I know, but yeah. I mean, that changes the game, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. And then in a game that really nobody cares about, Rose Bowl, Ohio State versus Washington. Nobody's really going to watch that except for maybe to see the Rose Bowl parade.
That's always good.
Yeah, which is great.
It's a great parade.
And then this will be an interesting game, Sugar Bowl, Georgia versus Texas. That'll be a pretty good game. Texas has got a really good offense, no defense. So Jake Fromm for Georgia will probably pass for 18,000 yards that game.
More like 1,800.
Maybe first half.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. All right, let's move on to NFL news. Crazy things this week in the NFL.
Wow.
So, Kareem Hunt, that thing just kind of spiraled and it happened. And in a matter of like 36 to 48 hours, this dude was like on top of the world. And then the worst invention ever made, an iPhone with a video camera, has basically ruined this dude's life.
Well, he ruined his own life.
Yeah.
And then the iPhone caught.
The iPhone just happened to capture the ruinedness. Yeah, thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, no problem.
Because basically he lied to the fans, he lied to the Chiefs, and he apologized, and he's not being true, you know, wasn't being truthful. So the Chiefs cut him. For those of you don't know, some craziness went on in a Cleveland hotel, I think, where he lives. He lives in Cleveland, so why he's in a hotel, I don't know. But anyway.
Is he married?
I have no clue. At least this night he wasn't. So it was some domestic dispute issues with a woman that he's caught on camera running off, and his entourage tries to keep him away. He runs back, runs in the sky. She falls down, and he's shown kicking her. So in the melee, the Chiefs have cut him. This is kind of crazy. Ray Rice has extended an offer of help to come out and help him. Dez has also gotten his corner. Dez Bryant is also in the Team Kareem corner. So he's getting some backing from some pretty upstanding citizens of the NFL. man, I feel bad. I mean,
what does that change to the Chiefs playoffs or the Chiefs playoff?
I don't know. What do you think?
They got Ware as a backup.
I think that throws a kink in the system this late in the season. I think it's
they're just going to pass the ball more.
Yeah. You were going to add something, Joey. What were you going to add?
I was just shocked.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, you've never heard anything about this kid.
And then
bam. Well, he just, you know.
I mean, I'm really upset for my fantasy team.
Dude, I'm not going to make any jokes about this. The domestic abuse stuff is not, I mean, it's serious, but I mean, I hate it that, you know, your team is going to suffer and now you come back to the pack and all, but yeah, I mean, this guy, yeah. I mean, I hate it for the kid. I hope, you know, I hate it for the female. You know, I hope he doesn't talk to Ray Rice. I hope he doesn't talk to Dez Bryant. And I hope that he, you know, gets everything straightened out. And he, I think he's young, and I think he's still probably he'll play in the NFL again.
You think?
Yeah, the difference between him and Ray Rice was that Ray Rice was old. If Ray Rice, this guy's 23, this kid's 23 years old. If Ray Rice would have been 23 instead of like 29 or however old he was, Ray Rice would have played in the NFL again. Yeah. Again. Because my next story is going to confirm that for you. Yeah. Why? Because 1 week after being cut, after being arrested for like the fourth time in the last year, the Redskins claimed Reuben Foster off waivers from the San Francisco 49ers, who was once again arrested for domestic, alleged domestic dispute violence. This is the second time in like a year. The third time was possession of marijuana and guns. He was going to get high and shoot somebody or whatever. Shoot himself in the foot. So the Redskins claimed Reuben Foster off of waivers to potentially play for the Redskins this year.
Knowing he may not play.
Right. So do I think Kareem Hunt will play in the NFL again? Absolutely.
I don't know. I think with the Me Too movement and everything, Kareem Hunt doing something like that is just so dang dumb. I mean,
I would agree with it.
It's not right, first off. And I know we're going to piss you off, but that's just going, I mean, a guy like him can knock a woman out and kill her.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's never right. I just think that the mindset of today's NFL is a win. You know, this guy has never had any trouble, you know, that we know of, you know, in the NFL. This is kind of like his first offense or whatever. So again, if this was the second or third string running back, or if this was somebody that was in the latter part of his career, do I think he'd play again in the NFL? Absolutely not. Do I think he will play again? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. Because
I think it's going to take at least a year to solve this. I don't see him playing at all next year.
Potentially not.
Hey, right? Then it disappears.
Yeah, he disappears and gets to the grind and does his penance.
And Michael Vick comes back.
I mean, that's a great example, Michael Vick. Right. So anyway, moving on. Let's talk about the game today. Let's start with Thursday. The damn boys. How about the boys? Took it to the Saints.
Took it to them.
NFC East leading Dallas Cowboys.
Unbelievable.
All right. We're just going to recap games real quick. The 1 p.m. games, the Ravens beat the Falcons. Denver beat the Bengals. Rams beat the Lions. Everybody beats Lions.
Except for the Panthers.
The Cardinals beat the Packers in Lambeau, which sealed Mike McCarthy's fate, who is now no longer the head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
He's packing up his office.
He's packing. They probably told him to go on, and they're shipping that shit to his ass, probably. Anyway, the Dolphins beat the Bills. The Giants beat the Bears in overtime.
That's shocking.
The Bucks beat the Panthers.
That's
par for the course now. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later. The Jags and the Colts in a shootout. 6-0 Jags. And the Texans beat the Browns. Damn, Baker had a tough day today, dude.
I know. I picked him up in fantasy and started him today.
He had a tough day today. 4 p.m. games. Titans beat the Jets. Chiefs beat the Raiders. The Pats beat the Vikings. Who cares? I hate the Patriots. And the Seahawks beat the Niners. Tonight's game is going to be a good one. Chargers versus Steelers.
Big country.
Yeah, that's right. And tomorrow night's game, the Deadskins with their newly acquired Reuben Foster, female wife beater, whatever you want to call them, stand on the sidelines, will be playing the Philadelphia Eagles. So, anyway, the Skins may now actually become my most hated team, just to let you know.
Just by that pickup?
Yeah, just that pickup. I mean, that guy's a piece of shit, man. I'm just going to tell you. Just flat out, he's a piece of shit.
Would you tell that to him to his face?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. If I was standing with me and a brick wall between us, absolutely. I mean, he would probably be high on marijuana, toting automatic weapons, and beating on somebody.
Do what? McCarthy just got fired.
Yeah, we've only mentioned it three times on the podcast. But thank you for that late breaking information, Bob. We appreciate that. Elsewhere in the world of sports, just recapping a little bit because we are all about football, but we do want to know about other things. NBA. Toronto has the best record in the NBA, 20-4. They've won 8 in a row. Cleveland and Phoenix are tied for the worst record in the NBA.
As it should be.
4-18. The hottest team in the NBA right now, though, is LA Clippers. They're going 9-1 in their last 10, and they actually have a game and a half lead in the Pacific over the Warriors. And no NBA update would be complete if I didn't tell you where Bron and the Lakers were, Trevor. I know you were waiting on this.
Interested.
Yep. Lakers 13-9, 7-3 the last 10. Third place in Pacific, two and a half games out behind the Clippers, not the Warriors. Top five leading scorers in the NBA, Harden, 30-6, even though the Rockets are sucking this
year. They are bad.
Durant comes in at 30 points a game. Curry, 29.3. My man, elder statesman, 28.1. That would be LeBron James. And Anthony Davis, 27.8.
He's a stud.
I think Carmelo Anthony ruined the Rockets.
Because he's not playing anymore? That's why.
I got rid of him. I'm saying they're going to turn their season around now that he's gone.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
You think his mere just presence.
That big a poison pill. He just caused that type of infection and spread.
I'm not going to argue with you at all because I'm not a Carmelo fan. I mean, he peaked his freshman year at Syracuse.
At Syracuse.
I mean, legitimately, he peaked his freshman year.
You don't think he's that big of a poison pill?
Yeah, I mean, they got bigger issues than that, but I mean,
they don't play defense.
That's not D'Antoni's cup of tea. I mean, they run and gun. They up and down the. What NBA teams play defense, though? Let's be honest. When it gets to the playoffs, they'll play.
Yeah, when it gets to the playoffs, they play. That's why I really
Celtics play defense. And then
not real well this year, though. Not yet.
No. Celtics and the Rockets did last year.
I mean, honestly, I don't watch NBA that much until the playoffs.
The Raptors play defense.
Do they? That might be why they've won 20 and lost 4 there.
They got one of the best, arguably top 5 in the league.
What, defenses?
Players.
Oh, Kawhi?
He's a two-way player.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a two-way player.
Mm-hmm. Who, Kawhi or the point guard? Kawhi. You know, I agree with you. Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he's a fantastic player.
He's real good.
All right, that's all we're talking about basketball now, at least NBA basketball. College basketball, top 10, AP, Gonzaga, number 1, Kansas, number 2, who won another game in overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, they've won like two close games. They beat, who was it they beat? Was it Tennessee or somebody they beat in overtime a couple weeks ago? And then they beat Stanford
last night
in overtime. McDuke comes in at 3. I can't believe that McDuke is 3 with the 82 All-Americans and Water Boys and all that stuff that they have. Anyway, UVA is 4. Nevada with the two
Martin twins.
They really hit their stride after they left NC State, didn't they?
That's true.
Yeah.
The dad and the coach got into it, and that's what occurred there.
What? Who? Him and Mike Goffrey?
Mm-hmm.
Were they both fighting over the same chick or something?
Probably.
Okay. All right. Nevada comes in at 4. Tennessee comes in at 5. Michigan, after a thorough ass whooping of UNC Chapel Hill this week, comes in at 6. Sucked. Auburn 7. Michigan State 8. And Kentucky 9. Or did I miss one? Kentucky's 10. So just rephrase that. Michigan, Auburn, Michigan State, and Kentucky round out the top 10. At number 11, but not for long, is Carolina after they took a 17-point butt whooping this week in the Big Ten ACC Challenge at Michigan. Did any of y'all, obviously you didn't because you texted me this morning, Bobby, or when I told you what we were going to talk about, you obviously didn't hear the comments that Roy Williams made after the game. Trevor, did you hear him?
Heard every one of them.
Did you hear him, Joey?
I did not.
Trevor, would you like to recap while I go get me a beer and tell him what exactly Roy Williams went crazy about?
Just his worst.
He pretty much said this is like his worst he's ever coached.
What do you mean his worst?
Like Roy's never
worst
never
job
coached
he's done.
A, yeah, worst job he's done with a group of guys.
He's done a bad job.
He's done a terrible job. Was what he says. He sat the starters for I think 7 minutes straight, and then put I think y'all went all the way down to number 13 guy, the guard,
right,
and put him in. Did you watch the whole game?
I kept flipping back because it was a blowout.
So yeah, I wanted to turn it off, but I couldn't. But for his offense to work, you need two solid big men, and he don't have that right now. He's got 4 big guys, but no solid guys. We don't have a Hansborough. We don't have a Deion Thompson. We don't have a Kennedy Meeks. No Isaiah Hicks. We have Garrison Brooks, who's not very good and can't decide if he wants to be a big man or a stretch forward, or
so you're saying they don't have an identity.
They don't have two big men for that to run that offense.
They've got a walking bucket
and Kobe White.
They do. But let me tell you. So more specifically, Roy made the comment about them, about their defensive play. He did say something. He said he basically fell on the damn knife and took it for the team. But he made a comment. He goes, you know, we work on the, I guess you
ball
call
screen.
It.
High ball screen.
On ball screen. He goes, we work on that in practice every day. And then they run a on-ball screen and they score three straight dunks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the way he said it, if you'd listen to it, the reason I think Roy's full of shit is because, and he's falling on the knife for the team is, in his comments, he said they worked on it in practice. That's all the coach can do. The coach can work on it and work on it and work on it. Carolina, I mean, let's think of it. Carolina has never been a good on-ball defending screen. Never. The way you beat Carolina is you, with your big man that's covered by Carolina's big man, you set a screen on the ball and you roll that guy, and Carolina is inevitably going to go under the screen and you shoot a three, or they're going to screw up switching and they're going to dump it to the big man and he dunks. It Carolina dunks. In the history of defense, and this predates Roy Williams, even with Dean Smith, never defends the on-ball screen great, because defense is about the thing, the only, I would say the only thing that Roy Williams has done wrong this year, he doesn't, Carolina has never played with an urgency, with a sense of urgency. As much as I hate them, McDuke, they play with a sense of urgency, with an edge to them. You know, Joey, this is a question for you. And Trevor, you being a basketball coach,
mm-hmm.
what does it take to be able to play good defense?
Just flat out work ethic.
You have to want to play defense.
Your guy not allowing your guy to score. That is it. Just to want to.
It's a mindset.
In your years of coaching middle school, you know the question I'm getting ready to ask you. You know, because you and I have talked about this. In the years of you coaching middle school basketball, who was the best defender that you ever had play for you?
Gabe Kruger.
Great soccer player, great athlete. He sucked at basketball. Gabe, you sucked at basketball. You couldn't make a free throw.
Couldn't hit it.
Couldn't hit a backboard. But Gabe had the want to. And he played great defense. You could go in there and tell him to just stick to this guy like glue, and he would do it. Because playing defense, it takes no skill to play defense.
Zero.
You just have to have a knowledge, and you have to be athletic. And if Roy Williams has failed anywhere to date so far, to me, it's in creating a sense of urgency with these guys.
It takes a toughness, too, to play defense. I mean,
yeah, I would agree with you, man.
I cannot name a great defender that wasn't tough.
I agree with you. So Carolina players are pansies. I mean, I'm not saying they're not.
I mean, you look at the top defenders now. I say Draymond Green's one of the top defenders in the league.
Because he's mean.
He's
That's
mean.
What I'm saying. He's tough.
Danny Fisher.
Name the top defenders of all time, and everyone is either tough or mean. There ain't one
Dennis,
that was.
Dennis Rodman was a great defender.
Oh yeah.
Rick Mahorn was a great defender. Think about all those guys. I'm not totally down on Carolina
Gary
yet.
The glove.
I'm not totally down on Carolina yet. I just think that Roy. You know, maybe he thinks because he's got a young team, he's got to fall on the bullet. But Carolina did shoot. They shot 37% from the field that night, okay? And they shot 61% from the free throw line. Now, the last time I checked, Roy wasn't out on the field shooting any – I mean, wasn't out on the court.
But if you can't establish an inside presence, you live and die by the jump shot.
I mean, I agree with you. I just think that, you know, it was just one of those games where – you know, you have games like this during the year. I'd rather have them now than I would in February or March.
Absolutely.
Right? But
definitely not March.
But in my opinion, Roy overreacted. And he fell onto, you know, but dadgummit, you know.
But he's probably tried everything. I guarantee he's tried everything to get them to play.
Well.
Only thing he hasn't done is fallen out on the court yet. That's the only, like, screaming, yelling, falling out.
All I can say, Trevor, is Brad Stevens.
No, it's not happening. He's not playing. He's not playing the best players, and I don't know what he's probably trying to figure out a chemistry or something.
Why
who can play
a little
together?
Averaging 14 minutes a game.
Why is Nasir Little look like he's lost? And yeah, why is he only playing?
Because
14,
he's
a
one-on-one basketball player. He's not. It's not a team.
You
got
to play him more. You got to play him more to
not
get
if
him
he's
there.
He's not grasping the concepts.
You don't play at Carolina as a freshman unless you understand defensive concepts. And hell, really, nobody's understanding defensive concepts, but. I guess you got to throw five out there. But, you know, to date, the most, you know, Luke May, preseason ACC player of the year, preseason All-American,
mm-hmm.
No.
Not doing it.
No.
Well, where's Kenny Williams? He
Kenny Williams is shooting. I don't even know what he's shooting.
That's
I mean, you
awful.
Probably can look it up. He's probably shooting 20% from 3-point. I mean, we just hadn't hit our strides yet. Like, again, I'd rather play like this now than I would. I'm not off the Carolina bandwagon. I'm just kind of was surprised that Roy just jumped on that damn knife after the game like he did that blade and took it. It really surprised me because he said all that stuff, but in the same instance, he said, "Well, we work on it in practice." So by saying that, he's admitting that he's trying to teach it. I mean, he's trying to teach it in practice. It's just the kids aren't getting the grasp of it.
You can only do so much. You can put them in their positions to win.
That's right. That's all you can do.
You can't make them box out. You can't make them move their feet. You can't make them do anything.
That's right. Enough said, we will talk a lot about college basketball in the next upcoming episodes because college football will be gone here shortly. All right, let's move on. Studs and duds. Trevor, who's your stud of the week?
I got Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
If he can score like 85 on Alabama, they might win.
They might win. Joey, who's your stud of the week?
I'm going to go Jalen Hurts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bobby, who's your stud?
Southwest of Jacksonville High School.
Southwest, that's a good pick. I'm saving them for my studs of the week after Friday night if they win. But anyway, hopefully. My stud of the week, already mentioned, this is legitimately the easiest one that I've ever picked, Jalen Hurts. Karma is a bitch. Returns to the scene of the crime, if you would, Georgia Dome, where last year, at halftime, he lost his starting job to Tua. Tua leads them to the national championship in the second half. Come fourth quarter, down 7. He brings the Crimson Tide back with a TD, 10-yard scramble to Jerry Jeudy. And then go-ahead TD, 15-yard QB draw with just a minute left in the game.
The tying touchdown, that was an impressive pass.
Impressive roll. Run. Impressive roll out to the right and impressive hitting the guy. It showed on TV, the guy ran a zigzag pattern. And then when he saw him rolling to the right, he zagged back out to the end and caught him. But, I mean, simple say, Jalen Hurts, that's a great, great story for kids, parents to teach their kids about hang in there, your time will come. Simple justice.
Right.
Jalen, you the man. Dud. Bobby, who's your dud of the week?
It's easy.
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm just too caught up in the whole dud of the year thing, and I've got to get to Maryland.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, we're going to get to the Maryland. We're going to get to the dud of the year here in the next several episodes. Joey, who's your dud of the week?
Kareem Hunt.
That's a good one.
That was mine too, Kareem Hunt. You can't drop kick your girlfriend and think it's okay.
Nope. Well, I've got several duds of the week potential. Washington Redskins, Reuben Foster. Kareem Hunt, enough said. Kirby, not so smart, going forward on freaking fourth down. I mean, dude, man, are you?
I agree.
I mean, are you an idiot, Kirby Smart? Really? He comes in and says, I wasn't coming here to tie. Well, Kirby, if you'd have punted, you'd have gone to overtime. It'd been okay. Idiot. I mean, he literally cost him a spot.
And it's not. It was from the 50. Like you give.
And it was fourth and 11. It wasn't even like fourth and 2.
That was unbelievable. That was shocking.
Despite that, he's not my dud. Neither is Cam Newton, who threw 4 interceptions today in another loss for the Panthers' loss again. No, my dud of the week, and this one hurts me as much as I will ever have to say it. I got to read this. It hurts me so much that from this point on, I'll have to modify my feelings about this individual. Even though he still will be the greatest basketball player of all time, I won't refer to him in that manner. LeBron James is my dud of the week. Earlier this week, LeBron tweeted, "Big facts. Love Coach K, the absolute best. Hope he is still at the helm when my boy comes up." He is predating that his son may potentially go play for Mike Krzyzewski and McDuke University when he goes to college. LeBron, plain and simply, my man, you suck. And much like you, LeBron, who had to go to Miami to win championships with other great players because you couldn't do it on your own, the apple must not fall far from the tree. You're teaching your son to be a follower and not a leader. And that's a great job. So you are the greatest basketball player of all time, LeBron, but I will never refer to you in that manner again whatsoever simply because you have just tore my heart out with that simple 75 word tweet.
And if a son ends up going to Carolina,
then LeBron is the freaking man forever. Just remember that. New little segment we added. Did you really tweet that? So Markelle Phelps, you know, everybody, he's got the yips.
The 76ers.
76ers. His yips actually started way before the season started, this season started. They actually started when he was first drafted. So on draft night, Markel Fultz had one job. That was to walk across the stage, be picked the number one draft pick in the 2017 draft, and then because of his spots, he already had sponsors, he had to post to several of their social media accounts for his sponsors about him being drafted. His sponsors sent him templates, tweet templates, Twitter templates to be filled in, so he just had to go in and fill in the blanks. But Markel forgot to fill in the blanks. On that night, he posted for one of his sponsors, excited to head to, and then in parentheses, put the city here, in the parentheses, and join the parentheses, put the team name here. That's what he put. That's what he tweeted. So Markel's tweets did not actually, his yips did not actually begin this year. His yips began when he was first drafted. Markel, you need to go to social media school.
Oh,
no, he doesn't.
Goodness.
He needs to hire somebody.
He needs to hire somebody. Yeah. And if you hire somebody, you need to fire him, okay? Anyway.
Oh, man.
All right. Rapid fire. Here we go. Hottest former Masketeer. Britney Spears, Keri Russell, Christina Aguilera, Annette Funicello, Justin Timberlake, or Ryan Gosling?
Oh, Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling's fucking smoke.
No brainer.
Ryan Gosling's smoke. I'm just going to tell you. He's hot.
It just got weird in here.
I don't care, dude.
I'm just being honest with you right now. That's sort of weird.
Joey, that's why I invited you tonight, actually.
Keri Russell's hot. She's pretty hot.
I don't even know who the other ones are.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay. Who is the more eligible bachelor? Aaron Rodgers or Rob Steele?
Rob Steele, by far.
Rob Steele, I guess.
Or Nick Kraft.
Who's the more eligible bachelor? Rodgers or Bobby Mills?
Oh.
You got to go to Rodgers on that one.
What about Bobby Mills or Rob Steele?
The Battle Royale of Roberts.
Bobby Mills or Rob Steele? Who's the more eligible bachelor? Bob, who's the more eligible bachelor?
You know, Joey's kind of the Asian version of Ryan Gosling, though.
It really got weird.
Moving on.
I'll go with Ryan Gosling.
Okay. Moving on. Who's hotter, Britney Spears or Dana Patrick?
Oh.
Ooh.
Today or
right now, in their prime.
Like right this minute. Like right this minute.
Oh.
I haven't seen Britney. Like, but Britney's probably still better looking.
Yeah.
Okay, this is rapid fire, so answer the question.
There's so many things you have to think about.
Right, yeah, it was way too many. I mean.
Yes or no? Is Mac Brown too old to coach football?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just asking rapid
fire. Didn't K-State just fire their dinosaur? Or didn't their dinosaur retire?
You do know that Mac Brown is only like 6 months, is within 6 months of Nick Saban's age, right?
But if you put them side by side, Nick Saban looks a lot younger. So
okay.
He can't connect with players at 75 years old.
You don't coach with your looks unless you're Ryan Gosling. Okay, here we go. How many games will Carolina win next year?
Five.
In?
Football.
All season?
Yeah. No, for...
Do you have their schedule?
No, I don't.
I would say five. Like,
I'd take the under.
How many games will they win in 3 years?
Combined?
In 3 years from now, how many games will they win?
Third year.
Five. Oh, with Mac Brown at the helm?
So you're saying Mac Brown's not going to make a difference in 3 years?
They'll go 9-3.
In 3 years?
In 3 years. 9-3.
They get back to 10.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say that, but that's almost making it to the ACC championship game. So
they can do that. They did that 3 years ago.
On retrospect, Scotty Montgomery or Ruffin McNeil?
Rough. Too easy.
That's way too easy.
He got him to 10-3.
Okay.
They hated him.
Did the East Carolina people fire him?
Because he went 5-9 one time.
Riley got them to 10-3.
Sure.
Yes.
East Carolina's got a football coach now, but if they didn't, would East Carolina fans hire Ruffin McNeil back today and be happy with 7-8 or maybe sometimes 9 wins?
Apparently not.
They had 10 one time. Wouldn't happen. Didn't like it.
Not without Lincoln Riley there.
Okay. Ruffin McNeil or Skip Holtz?
Skip Holtz.
Okay.
No brainer.
Yes or no? Jalen Hurts, sweet justice.
Yes.
Indifferent.
Absolutely. Yes or no? Tua no Heisman. Heisman going to end up in Norman, Oklahoma.
Potentially now.
I don't understand the question.
Do you think Tua is still going to win the Heisman, or is Kyler Murray going to win the Heisman at Oklahoma?
Yes.
Damn, man.
Yes.
Come on, Rob.
Goodness.
Yes or no? There are way too many bowl games.
Way too many.
Never.
I was hoping Myrtle Beach would get one.
The Virtual Bowl.
The Virtual Bowl.
Well, didn't ECU or Greenville put in for one?
Yeah, the Barbecue Bowl.
Didn't get
it. They fired it before the season got over with.
It got undercooked.
Okay. Worst college bowl name ever. Okay, listen to this list. This is a current one. The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. The Poulan Weed Eater Independence Bowl. The Magic Jack St. Peter's Bowl or the Beef O'Grady St. Peter's Bowl. Battle Frog Fiesta Bowl. The Duck Commander Independence Bowl. This one coming up was from 1947 to 1955. The Salad Bowl in Phoenix. Or the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Worst name.
The first worst four name? Were pretty awful.
The Bad Boy Mower Gasparilla Bowl sucks. Yeah, that was cool. I mean, that's horrible.
Although, if that was a t-shirt, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Because
I definitely would think that was fake.
Yeah. Right.
Yes or no? NBA Finals, Golden State versus Toronto.
Golden State.
Celtics. No, I still think it's going to be the Celtics and the Warriors.
What do you think?
I don't know. I don't watch enough
NBA. Because in seven games, ready for playoffs, it's going to be hard to beat the Celtics in seven games.
And Brad Stevens is beating the Toronto Raptors.
Right. I agree with you because Brad Stevens, okay.
The one good thing is that LeBron is gone out of Cleveland, so Toronto at least has a chance.
That's right.
Yeah, finally.
Yes or no? Jimmy Butler, good fit in Philly.
Clearly. Okay. Two game winners already.
Yes or no? Roy Williams has gone off the deep end.
No. Too early. Just trying to find the team chemistry.
He's just trying to find something. He's trying to push the buttons. He has a lot of talent. A lot of talent.
Too much.
Yes or no? UNC has never played the on-ball screen and roll worth a shit. Ever.
Ever. That I can't remember.
So you would agree with that statement?
I would agree with
that. They continue.
Yes or no? Time for the Panthers to consider moving on from Cam Newton. Yes.
And Ron Rivera.
I think Ron Rivera is the one who's got
to
go.
He got him to the Super Bowl.
So what?
That's what everyone's trying to do. That's the ultimate goal, is to get to the Super Bowl and win.
Yes or no? Time for Panthers to consider moving on from Cam Newton.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe.
But who's your answer, though?
I'm not asking for that right question right now. I'm asking, is it time to move on? Yes or no?
My son's going to be disappointed.
Okay.
I'd say
no. I'm going to say no.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Is it time for Steve Goodson, after LeBron's ridiculous tweet, to move on from LeBron James? Yes or no?
Yes.
No.
No. You still got a chance. Son's going to Carolina.
Okay. Yes or no? Despite all that, Duke still sucks. Yes or no?
Yes.
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 And yes. Anything about this, by the time his son, they might not have to go to college at all. So
that's true.
They can go right to the pros.
High school to the pros, baby.
So yes or no, Duke still sucks?
Still sucks.
That's it,
coach. But they have the best coach in college basketball.
And basketball.
Joe, you're never invited back. Nope. Thanks. See ya. Guys, thanks for coming tonight. You'll never hear Joey Mihalchik on this podcast again. And just like you'll never hear LeBron James mentioned as the greatest basketball player ever, you'll never hear a good word ever said about the New England Patriots, nor Ohio State and Urban Meyer. So have a great night.